You're listening to Dig It. I'm Kat Cullen. I'm a radio host and complete gardening novice with an ever-growing collection of pot plants.
I'm Hester McDonald, garden designer and owner of the Swiss Gardening School. Dig It is a World Radio Switzerland production and airs live as part of the WRS Breakfast Show, broadcasting from our studio in Geneva, Switzerland.
On with the show.
Dig It, sponsored by Schilliger Garden Centre in Gland and Plan-les-Ouates.
Hester McDonald joins me in the studio. Hester, we are talking about veg today. What's your favourite vegetable?
Oh, that's a good question. I like a spicy Asian mixed lettuce. I do. Homegrown.
Of all the vegetables, of all of them, like a fancy broccoli, all that fancy cauliflower that looks very like a...
Like a Mandelbrot.
Yeah. God, that's fancy. I feel very fancy when I cook that. We're talking veg, though, particularly today about growing it. So let's launch off and talk about, well, veggies, the different guises of veggies. One question, isn't it a little bit early, though, to be starting any veggies? Because apparently it's still winter.
It is. I don't know if you've been outside today. There's frost on the ground today. It's a bit chilly.
It's so weird, though, because yesterday we had so much sunshine.
I know. There's false spring. Don't be misled. It's not spring yet.
Okay. All right.
So, yes, it is quite early, but all of the seeds are in the shops now. So you might want to go and choose some and do a bit of planning. And do you know what? You can even plant some out now. I know.
What?
And you can plant some indoors on a windowsill too.
I get that. Just because they're in the shops, though, are they likely to sell out? Is this like the Taylor Swift concert that I didn't know existed? You know,
well, do you know, some of them will sell out. So if it's a heritage seed variety when they don't tend to make very many packets, or it's a really unusual thing, or it's a brand new one, they do sell out. So you'll notice in maybe a month and a half or so, if you go back to the same shop, you'll see big gaps on the shelves and they won't refill them because it's finished. They've sold out.
You heard it here first. Get in there now. Yeah. There's a lot of choice at the moment, though, with hundreds of varieties of seeds. So as a beginner grower, I typically tend to go for an established plant. I think it's easier than growing from seeds. Is that instinct correct?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But they're much more expensive.
Of course.
And you'll probably have less choice. So if you want an unusual variety, if you want a heritage seed, you want to grow something really crazy and funky, you probably won't get it as a plant. You probably have to grow it from seed. So for things like, I'd say, named chili varieties, if you're a chili head and you want to grow something really specific, you probably won't be able to find it in your garden centre as a plant, but you will be able to get it as a seed from a seed supplier.
Nice. Okay, so how do I know what to choose when it comes to... I can look at leaves when it's a plant and I can assess whether it looks good and it looks healthy. Where do I even start when it comes to seeds?
So I would say, well, make a list. I love a list. I love a list for everything. I love a list for packing. I love a list for what I need to do this week. I love a list. I would say start with a list and I would talk to everybody that's going to be involved with your veggie patch. Now, if it's just you, knock yourself out. You choose whatever you like. For other people like kids, other family members, anybody like that, ask what they'd like to grow, and I would say let them all choose one thing. That's not very many, I know, but I'd say if you're growing more than 8 different things in your first year, you'll be very overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And I would look at things like, check when the planting times are. Are you going to be there? Check when it crops. Are you going to be there to eat it? And if you're not, it, I'm afraid, has to go back on the shelf. You have to choose
Good
something
point.
Else. Yeah. I would also look at, make sure they don't all crop at once.
Smart, yeah.
Yeah, because you don't want to be dealing with this glut of vegetables. You're thinking, what am I going to do with this? I'm going to have to freeze it or do whatever then get rid of it. That's not useful. And I'd also avoid tricky things like sweet corn. Sweet corn, it looks gorgeous on the packs. It's wind pollinated. You need to plant it in a big, dense block. Honestly, it's a nuisance. If it's your first year, ditch it. Don't grow something like that. And I would also not grow something that takes 3 years to come to crop, like asparagus, in your first year. Absolutely not. It takes 3 years really to get going.
And, no wonder it's so expensive.
I don't know about you. I don't have 3 years to wait.
Mm-hmm. What about when it comes to these sort of mapping out the calendar? Do you have any useful resources of where we can actually look for reliable information on this?
There's a couple that I really like. One is from the RHS. It's called the RHS Crop Planner. Just be careful. depends on where you are in terms of altitude. And it I would say everything here is at least a couple of weeks later than they suggested for the UK. However, there's a really good Swiss rum from an excellent organic seed company called Zollinger, who are based kind of up at the top of the lake near Villeneuve. And they have an excellent English language section of their website. So not only can you just literally go on and go, okay, March, what do I need to plant now? Have all of the flowers, all of the cover crops, all of the vegetables, everything you might want to. But there's also a nice little bit of detail about where it comes from, what it is, when you need to crop it, and any additions you might need to put on the soil. It's brilliant.
When you mentioned about growing things and bearing in mind who else is in your family and maybe kids doing this as a project with the kids, I remember growing cress.
Yes.
As a child, and I think that I might be able to step back and do that as my on my own.
You know, cress is great. And actually, there's loads of things you can grow as microgreens.
Go on.
You as a kid, without knowing, were terribly ahead of the curve growing cress. And so growing them and eating them as teeny, 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 tiny plants, they're called microgreens. You see them in sandwiches, you see them on top of soups in fancy restaurants, and they're delicious. They pack an incredible taste punch. They're really, really good for you. They're absolutely delicious. I love them.
Great. So apart from cress,
what else would you say for beginners?
For mini.
Well, yeah. I really like beetroots because you can eat them as microgreens, you can eat them as mini greens, you can eat them as thinnings or trimmings, you can eat them as mini beets when they're like the size of them, or a fully mature actual proper beetroot. They can bolt, which means that they go straight to setting flower and then setting seeds. But there are loads that don't, like Boltardi and the beautiful Noir d'Egypte. They're beautiful.
And then otherwise, salads, peas, radishes.
Yeah, I know. They're all those great, particularly radishes. You have radishes in under a month with kids.
Okay.
I mean, who doesn't love that?
And then what about a slightly bigger veg? I'm thinking something like courgettes.
Oh, they're great, but they do need a bit of space. But you really only need three plants. And this is where, like you said, buy it as a plant. Just don't bother doing them from seed.
Oh, so this one you can?
Yeah, I would.
And it could be, courgettes could be like a microgreen, but also you could allow it to come to full size?
I would just let them grow. And you don't forget, you can eat the flowers. Once they've set a few fruit, courgettes, you can eat the flowers.
All right. Yeah, okay. Mm. That's very fancy at dinner party. Like, yes, these are the edible flowers that I've grown myself.
That I grew myself, yes, thank you.
Hester, stay with us. We're going to be answering some of the listener questions. We're also going to be running a competition for a little window box where you can start growing your veggies. But also, if you're doing this on a budget, how you can grow veggies without too much equipment. Stay tuned. We've got more from Hester coming up for Dig It.
Dig It, sponsored by Shillinger Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates.
Looking at all of the different veggies you can grow, and we've got something to help you along with the growing. We've got a great prize from Shillinger Garden Centre. I'm going to ask Hester to tell us all about it, because essentially to me it looks like a little window box. Well, a little window box for your veggies.
I don't think that's a bad description. It's a mini greenhouse. They're really cute, very useful. It's called a rapid grow window. It's a set of three mini greenhouses for windows with tray ventilation, UV and frost resistant polypropylene, and three packs of seeds.
Excellent. What are we throwing in?
We're throwing in nasturtiums, which is a fun word to say in English and in French. It's capucine in French. Isn't that fun to say?
Nice.
Radishes, which, as we know, yum, yum, very quick. And basil, which I don't know about you. I can't get enough basil. I love basil. I'd put it in everything if I could. Except maybe porridge. That would be grim.
I don't know, though. I'd give it a go.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm with you. Love it. So, okay, so we've got these seeds and a rapid grow set of three mini greenhouses. Very handy. If you would like to get into that draw, all we're going to ask is that you simply tell us what you would do with any veggies that you have grown. Are you going to eat them in a pie? Are you going to give them away? What are you going to do with them? And if it is something that you're going to make, like a veggie dish, I would like to know what that is, please. WhatsApp us 022-575-3010. You can also send us an email at studio@worldradio.ch. But what are you going to make with the veggies that you grow? You'll go into that draw. And thank you very much to Shillinger Garden Centre for giving us that wonderful prize to give away. Do head over there. They've got everything, all of the equipment that you might need. Talking equipment. We're going to go through this, the basic equipment that you might need for growing veggies. And you'll be surprised to know that even if you're doing this on a budget, there are options out there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, Do you have any egg boxes about the place?
Ah, yes.
Yes. Well, you can use those.
I actually compost most of my egg boxes.
Do you? Well, I use some of them for seeds and I use some of them for other projects. I tend to hang on to them. They're quite useful, actually.
So they'll make a good pot. What do I need to do to them?
They do. So you can split them in half. Mm-hmm. Actually, rip them in half, because if they get nudged, they all fall over and they're very unstable. So the ones that have got the little pockety bits in, they actually make pretty good seed planters. They don't last more than about 6 weeks because the cardboard starts to burn. They go mushy. And you do need to put them on into a plastic container of some description.
Right, so you need to put it on something.
You need to put it on something. But they're very good, and you can plant the whole thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, later on when it comes to it, because then it'll just biodegrade, right?
Yeah.
Inside your
brilliant
bigger pot.
It's absolutely fantastic. And for the flat bits, they're actually pretty useful for starting seeds off indoors, anything like that. You can grow cress in them.
Yes.
Do you want? I do use them quite often for microgreens. They're brilliant. You can do a couple of rounds and then you chuck them afterwards. And and like you say, you compost them. They're absolutely fantastic. I think they're great.
So you can also make, I remember seeing this as a kid, like you would make a flower pot out of newspaper.
Yeah, I do this a lot.
You do?
Yeah.
Even as a pro gardener?
As a pro, I use this a lot. We do it on courses a lot, particularly with kids, but we also do them with adults because they're super practical. So you do need a pot maker, which is like, it looks like a doorknob and a little flat base, and you can buy them. They're made out of wood, and you wrap it around the bit that looks like a doorknob, squidge it into the flat base, go squash, 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 pull it off, and you have this perfect little flower pot. They're brilliant.
I love that idea, especially if you are doing something like that very often with the kids, encouraging them to make it.
We do them on adult courses as well at the Swiss Gardening School. They're really practical because you can then, like you say, plant the whole thing.
If you're making something out of newspaper or an egg carton, do you still need to pierce holes in the bottom of them in order to give some kind of drainage?
No, because they're paper and they drain fairly well. However, if you are using yogurt pots like I do, or anything, I quite like the ones that have a clear plastic lid. They're brilliant. You do have to pierce holes in those because otherwise the whole thing just fills up with water and the seeds just float off. But they do make a really practical instant mini greenhouse. So you don't need to cover anything with plastic or anything afterwards because they've got their own lid. They're fab.
I do love the amount of recycling that's going on in your home. Reuse, recycle.
Yeah, most of it actually ends up having seeds in it.
Yeah? Yeah. What about other kind of things that you might buy from a garden centre?
Something more robust,
right?
For example. So I really like the kits. There's one called Norten, N-O-R-T-E-N-E. You can get them at Schiller, you can get them Jumbo, you can get them anywhere. And it's a plastic base with cardboard inserts in it. So it's exactly the same principle, but the plastic base you reuse for 5, 10 years, whatever. Mm-hmm. And the cardboard inserts, you just buy new inserts every year. And it comes with a little lid, much like the kits that we're giving away, but the inside is in cardboard.
Yep.
And you can reuse them. You just need to wash the whole thing out and then leave it to dry. And then you can reuse it again and again and again. Brilliant.
Does that turn out to be cost effective?
It is pretty cost effective. I think they're pretty good. Because you don't need to then buy another one. Because as long as you've got space to look after them, which if you're on a small balcony or you don't have a shed and you've nowhere to put it, then it's just something, it's an item that then trails about and needs to be put away and might get squashed or damaged, and then it's not a good buy. If you've got somewhere to put it safely from when you finish raising seed in it, they're absolutely brilliant. I think they're great.
This little mini greenhouse that we're giving away from Schilliger Garden Centre, it's a set of three mini greenhouses. It retails on their website for £35.50.
Yeah.
Where do we stand in terms of looking for a mini greenhouse? How much do you expect to pay? Is that a reasonable price?
I'd say that's a reasonable price. I mean, you can get really big ones and then you expect to pay sort of 200 for them. There are heated ones as well. Like you can put what's called bottom heat into them, and it really helps get the seedlings on quickly because it heats them from below and kind of in a very gentle fashion. I think that's a good starter kit. I think £35 is a good price.
What tools will I need, and can I use a spoon?
Yes, you 100. Frankly, you can use a pen or your finger. I'm a big fan of pencils rather than a dibber. I use pencils all the time to just jab holes into compost because your finger is absolutely fine. What I would say is worth doing is getting some labels, some decent labels. That little bit of sticky paper that you think, I'll remember what that is. No, you won't.
No, you won't.
No, you absolutely won't remember. You remember what it is, when you planted it, what seeds you used. And that is useful to know because sometimes seeds don't work. and it's frustrating, but it might not be your fault. It might be that your compost wasn't very good. It might have been that it was too full of bits of wood because it hadn't been properly sieved. It might be that your seeds were too old. It might be that they accidentally got really cold or they accidentally got really hot. And it's really good to know when you planted, because then you can look back at your label and go, oh, that was me. I was away for a week. That's why they failed.
That's it.
So that you don't repeat the same mistake next year. And I think it is really good. So the labels, the most basic ones, the little yellow ones that you write on with a China Graph pencil, which is that funny kind of waxy pencil that doesn't wipe off, or you can just use Biro and eventually it'll all wear off. But there are really fancy, fancy ones that are made of slate, which I really like.
Just to make it more visually appealing.
Yeah, absolutely.
I guess one very crucial ingredient is what you're going to put these seeds in. It's the compost or the soil that you're using. So what are we looking for? What's going to give our seeds the best chance?
Do you know, I would splash out and buy seed compost. I think it's worth it, because the alternative is to sieve your own compost, which I do have a seed sieve called a riddle, which is a great word, and it is quite fun riddling compost, but it's a faff, and it's just another step, and it's another bit of kit that, to be honest, I don't think you really need. Buy yourself a seed compost. You'll know it's clean. You know it's not going to have any pathogens in it, because it's come in a nice sealed bag. It'll be fine, and then you just put your seeds in. I would also say use seeds within their sell-by date. There's a reason why there's a sell-by date on them, and it's to do with the percentage of seeds that will come up in any batch. And it's just frustrating. If you've got seeds that are coming towards the end of their sell-by date, or in my case, well past it sometimes, I look in my seed tin and think, oops, I should have sown them last year. Instead of, you know, 80% of them coming up, it might be 15. And that's just annoying if you're not going to be sowing loads.
It sounds like the seed tin is an essential piece of equipment as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Biscuit tin with seeds written on the top of it.
That's great. Love this, and love that we're just finding equipment from anywhere and everywhere. And yes, just using a spoon. In terms of our competition, Jennifer says, I'd put tomatoes I grow into a quiche. Yum. Have a great day. Jennifer, you are in the draw for our little mini greenhouses, the 3 sets that we've got to give away courtesy of Shilliger Garden Centre, as well as the bags of seeds that they're going to throw in with it. If you want to get into that draw, just tell us what you would do with any veggies you grow on the text 022 575 3010, on the email studio@worldradio.ch. Hester will be back answering your questions. If you've got any, you can also use those methods to get in touch with us and send your questions in ASAP.
Dig It, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates. Shilliger, let your inspiration grow.
Isabel is answering our question, what would you do with any of the veggies that you grow? And she said, I grow potatoes that begin to get past their best. Then I have potatoes to make lots of different potato dishes, like making spicy potato wedges in my air fryer. I usually use toilet roll cardboard to start off my seeds. Enjoy planting. From Isabel. Yes, I don't know. I wouldn't want to recommend it for sanitary reasons, because they've sat in your loo for too long. But Egg cartons feel better for me.
I've usually rolled.
Have you?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Don't say that when you're at a dinner party, though.
No, these are grown in loo roll.
These potatoes, I grew them in the toilet roll. Yeah, if you could maybe just
maybe
as I'm
not. Yeah, fair.
Tucking into my potato wedges. Thank you. Also, we've got Jamie who says, at Christmas, my 5-year-old daughter asked me if we could grow some peanuts. So this year we're going to use some monkey nuts, grow some peanuts in the soil. Apparently they grow in a similar way to potatoes. We're going to be eating our own peanuts this coming Christmas. You are in the competition. Any tips for growing peanuts?
I've never tried growing them.
No?
I know they're legumes. I know that they are like peas.
Jamie, let us know how you get on. You're all going into the draw to win that mini set of greenhouses from Shilliger. They all sit lovely on your windowsill. There's 3 of them and also a bunch of seeds, basically. They're throwing in 3 different seed packets to make sure that you've got things to grow straight away. It's a little bit of a kit to get going. We're going to tackle some of your listener questions now. Are you ready, Hester,
okay,
to answer?
Okay.
I'm going to put you on the spot.
Go for it.
Claire would like to know what she did wrong with her potatoes last year. Maybe Isabel can step in too. Claire says, I planted special seed potatoes. I did not get any potatoes.
Well, do you know, it's actually surprisingly easy not to get any potatoes.
Oh.
It's very annoying. So seed potatoes are specially treated, I would describe it as, in that they're supposed to make lots and lots of little shoots. So you know when you accidentally, if you have a bag of potatoes and you leave them too long and all of the little eyes, the little dots on them, which are growing points, they all end up with little shoots on them.
Absolutely. When you open a cupboard that you haven't opened
Exactly. So that is called chitting potatoes, C-H-I-T-T-I-N-G, which is quite a fun thing to do. So these little potatoes, which the seed potatoes are supposed to chit readily, whereas things that you buy from the supermarket are usually treated so they don't, because you don't want that to happen. Seed potatoes, you do. So if you didn't actually let them grow on, as in you planted them straight away, it could be that they didn't have enough time and capacity to grow on these little shoots. Because actually what you're supposed to do is you put them on a tray before you plant them, let them get as many of these little sprouts as possible, then you plant them.
Okay.
So it could be that they went in too early, that you didn't chit them. It could be that they'd already accidentally chitted in the shop, which is unfortunate, because actually what happens is when you take them out of the packet, you lose all the little sprouts. And the potato may not then have enough capacity, any energy left to make more. So that can happen. It can be that they were too old, so they went through this growth stage and you kind of missed the window. It could be that you planted them too early, that the soil was too wet or too cold. It could be that you planted them too deep. That does also sometimes happen. Same as if you plant, you know, flower bulbs too deep. What happens is that the plant expends all its energy to grow, never gets above the soil. And that's why then you don't get any potatoes either. So there's lots of things. Or something ate them. That can also happen.
So try again, Claire.
Yeah.
And Hester, I'd like to compliment you on your excellent pronunciation there.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Val has a problem with mealy peas. What is the problem? I don't even know what she's referring to.
So mealiness comes up in peas quite often. So,
is that mealy bugs?
No, it's when the taste goes a bit floury and grainy and you don't get that lovely hit of sweetness that you should get from peas. And so part of the problem is if you've let them get too old on the plant. And it could be that you, once you've picked them, they've sat around for a bit at home for a few days, say, and then you've cooked them. So that there's twofold issue generally. The older they are on the plant, the longer you need to cook them for. So if they're great old fashioned rule is, if you're picking new peas, you should walk down the garden and run back with them. Because ideally you want them to be straight in that saucepan to be cooked for, you know, only a couple of minutes, or you can eat them raw, obviously. But the older they are and the more solid they're getting within those little pods, the longer they're going to need to cook. So by the stage that they're, you know, almost dried peas, you're going to need to cook them for several hours. You don't get that beautiful straight off hit of deliciousness.
Several hours?
Yeah, if they're old, that's how long you're going to need to put them into, like a casserole or something like that, and you won't get that beautiful mad green colour, which is a pity, which is kind of the point about growing peas in my view. If you're gonna let them go really old, buy frozen. They are picked to being frozen within, you know, 20 minutes or something. So no wonder they taste so fantastic. Buy them frozen.
I mean, that's a good reminder, though, if you are unable to use all of the peas, yet freeze them if you are growing them, right?
Freeze them.
I've got another question for you. I don't know how much this one is. I need vegetable or growing advice to I need puppy training advice. But Fred says, our new puppy is destroying everything in the garden and loves to dig wherever something has just been planted. We would like to do a veggie patch this year, but we're worried that he might accidentally poison himself or dig up everything, leaving us with nothing. Obviously, one of those is a lot more serious than the other.
Yeah.
What do you suggest, Hester?
Obviously, dogs and particularly puppies can be really challenging in gardens. And Fred's right. There are a few common plants like that. Anything in the allium families, like onions and garlic and green tomatoes, can cause dogs fairly serious tummy upsets in the veggie patch. I'd say the other issue is dealing with digging. You probably need to deal with that more seriously than anything else. Bored dogs dig, and you probably need to stop him digging, firm nose, and even fencing areas of the garden where he can't get in will probably help. If you really start, use a dog behavioural therapist, a dog coach will absolutely help you sort that out. In the meantime, if you would like to grow veg this year, putting it in pots where he can't get at them, fence it. And there's another practical way, growing it in a raised bed where he can't get up. That depends how big he is. It doesn't say. I mean, if it's a Chihuahua versus a Great Dane, the height of your fence is going to vary considerably. Yes. Yeah, I'd say give it a go. Just kind of keep him separate from everything else for the first year. And honestly, but he won't be a puppy next year. They grow up and they stop doing these things.
All right, we've got a couple more questions, but we need to get into the Swiss news. So we're going to come back after that. We're going to look at a few more questions that have come in, but also a few different events where you can be inspired, even seed swaps. And I'll tell you where you can get a huge discount off of any of your garden furniture. Spoiler alert, it's Shilliger.
Dig It, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates. Shilliger, let your inspiration grow.
Hester, I've got more listener questions. We didn't get through them all. Are you ready to answer a question from Graham about his tomatoes?
Okay.
So Graham says, we live at 1,300 metres and grow microgreens, former salads all year round. I love it. I am looking forward to moving my gardening outside. Question for you both. I have grown tomatoes on my balcony the past 2 years, which don't seem to ripen very well. I'll just remind you of the beginning of his message, 1,300 metres of elevation. We have cooler nights and I have tried to use a makeshift greenhouse to help them ripen. Maybe I need a proper greenhouse, hint, hint.
Fair.
You're in the competition. Any tips for helping my tomatoes ripen this summer? Thanks and love the show from Graham. And he also added then on, I grow microgreens indoors year round, just to be clear.
Okay. That's a great idea. I'm glad somebody is also growing microgreens. I love microgreens. They're great.
I think I might get on it. Anyway, his tomatoes.
Tomatoes, I would say, yes, you're absolutely right. I think it probably is the cooler nights that's slowing down their development. And some of the little tenting mechanisms might help. You're already growing on the balcony, which is probably the warmest place. So I'd say there's a couple of approaches you could try. One is try growing little ones. I know that sounds really silly.
Little tomatoes.
Try growing baby ones, and they're just as delicious. There's like those miniature plum ones, there's little round ones, there's yellow ones, there's stripy ones, all sorts of things, because they ripen faster.
Right.
Rather than the big ones.
So we're not just talking cherry tomatoes there. They're a whole different variety.
There's lots of different varieties, lots of different tastes, lots of different colours, stripes, probably no spots, but lots of different tastes and lots of different uses. So I try growing little ones because they're better adapted for balcony growing, much better adapted for balcony growing. And some of them are designed to tumble off elegantly off the front of a balcony, which look really pretty. And then also you get the warmth of the balcony to heat them up. That's pretty good. The other method, I would say, try advancing them more indoors. If you've already got your microgreens down pat, then you absolutely are going to be able to grow tomatoes indoors longer, so that they're already significantly further on in their development by the time that you put them outside. That might help. And if not, when you pick them, and if they're not fully ripe, stick them somewhere warm next to a banana, and the banana's ethylene will help it to move along.
Brilliant. Good tips there, Hester. I hope that helps you, Graham. Petra wants to know about, she wants to grow something unusual this year. Her family likes most vegetables except Brussels sprouts. You can try different ways to cook them. They're delicious, actually.
They are, but if you're super tasters, which means you have more ways of detecting the taste
the
of them, then you're always going to hate them.
Oh, okay. But anyway, Petra would like some suggestions. Let's put Brussels sprouts to the side. I'm going to go back to my idea that I mentioned at the top of the hour, which is the fancy cauliflower.
Fancy cauliflower, otherwise known as Romanesco. My husband calls them Mandelbrots, which I think is just a great name for them.
I call them fancy cauliflower.
They're fancy cauliflowers. They are really easy. You can buy them as plants, like you suggested. You can buy them as seeds. You can put them in from any time about April onwards, and you can either eat them freshly grown in the kind of the end of the summer, or you can do like I did and just leave them in for the winter and treat your outside veggie bed as a sort of fridge.
Genius. I'm going to do
great.
I'm going to grow them this year.
They're really
try.
Great.
What else you got for us?
Mushrooms. They're really fun. You can buy mushroom kits almost everywhere. They just need to be kept dampish. They're really easy. How about wasabi?
Can you, how does that even, what does it even grow like?
You eat the stem. That's it. The stem and a bit of the roots. They need to be kept quite wet. So in a really damp bucket, that would be great. How about growing your own loofahs? That's quite fun.
Okay, so stepping away from the veg entirely.
Well, no, you can eat them when they're young. They're like courgettes. They're a member of the cucurbit family. So you can eat them young and they absolutely look just like a courgette. Or you leave them on the plant and they dry off. And then you peel off the skin, knock out the seeds and ta-da, you have grown your own loofah.
If we have not got through to your question, terribly sorry. We will try and get back to you with any answers. And you can also send us questions at any time. We might be able to get to the next show. But I do want to leave a little bit of space just to talk about some different events that are coming up, because there is a whole big exchange for different seeds that's coming up this weekend. It's perfectly timed.
Yes, exactly. So Saturday 9th is the Bourse aux Graines, and it's going to be in Vevey at the Mediatek. So just look them up online and it just says event seed exchange Vevey, you'll find it.
Lovely. Any other events for us?
I would say, well, obviously the Garden Festival in Coppet, 3rd to 5th of May, they are going to have seeds, obviously. And Jardina is coming up imminently. It's next Wednesday to next Sunday from 9 a.m. It is in Zurich, but you can easily get there by train for the day. There's 20 show gardens, shows over 5 floors of the Messenhall with seeds, plants, bulbs, furniture, tools from people like Felco, equipment like grills, hot tubs and garden buildings. It's all there. Jardina with a Giardina.ch.
You run courses, don't
I do.
You?
I do with the Swiss Gardening School. And we've got one on vegetables coming up. It's called Veg 101. Really is for beginners. And you not only get to work out your own personalised planner, but also you take a starter kit home with you to get you going and immediately growing your veg. And that's on the 14th of March. We've got a morning session or an evening session, and it's in Our Garden and Neil. Book online.
Where do they go for that?
SwissGardeningSchool.ch. And we have dozens of other courses as well.
Nice one. Now, in terms of other events, I do want to throw ahead and just let you know, if you really want to make the most of your garden over the coming months, then Schillinger are offering 15% discount from today. Yes, from literally today to March the 16th in their 3 different stores on outdoor furniture, barbecues, grills and parasols. So if you want to get yourself set up, you can get some really good quality furniture. We're looking at marks like Weber and Glatz. They've got all of these different, the big marks, or big brands, I should say. Sorry, a bit of a Frenchism there. The big brands that they've got set, and it's all 15% off. So get yourself to one of their 3 different stores throughout Switzerland between today and March the 16th, as in it literally starts today. So that's also going on. Make sure that you get your garden ready and set up for summer ahead. Hester, we'll be back with you next month talking gardens. If anyone's got any questions, send them in studio@worldradio.ch. Thanks for telling us all about how we can grow veg today, Hester.
Thank you.
Dig It, sponsored by Schillinger Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates. Schillinger, let your inspiration grow.
Dig It was broadcast live from the World Radio Switzerland studio in Geneva, Switzerland. The competition is now closed. You can find out more about the show and Hester McDonald at worldradio.ch/digit. If you have any questions for the show, you can send them in through the worldradio.ch website.